Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Coming up in 15 minutes or so, Bobby Carpenter is going to join us. Former Buckeye NFL linebacker, now a college football analyst with ESPN. We'll get into the national championship game, which, of course, LSU won. Joe Burrow throwing for five touchdown passes, 463 yards, also ran for another touchdown, completes a perfect season, Heisman Trophy, undefeated national championship. But we were just talking about this study which came out, which says the most miserable age of your life is 47. And so imagine the bell curve. You're most happy in your 20s, and you get more miserable as you get older. And then when you hit 47, then it starts coming back down that bell curve. You get happier and happier as you get a little bit older, as you become more grateful and accepting of the things that you have in life. That's at least a theory, but EB is balking
at
that.
Well, let me just say this. I don't want to say, what was the word you described? Miserable? I don't want to say life is miserable. I would say that life is just more difficult. I would say this past year or two has been the two of the most difficult years of my life for 9 million reasons.
Yeah.
And I don't see any of that subsiding.
Well, 2019.
Like, I can't say 2020 is going to be outstanding.
I don't feel that way either.
Yeah. I just don't see it.
I just
see it getting more stressful.
I mean, 2019, for obvious reasons, was the worst year of my life.
Yeah.
But you're right. I don't go into 2020 going, all right, man, it's got to be a much better year.
It's going to be killer.
I'm just waiting for the next real
it's
bad news.
It's only going to be good stuff.
I'm just waiting for the next real bad news. But I just try and wake up every day and go, all right, well, you know, I'm healthy. But for now,
yeah.
And my kids are I got a kid in college, mm-hmm. good school. My other kid's, you know, healthy. I got happy marriage. My finances are good.
Play golf twice a week.
I'd like to play golf, but the next bad thing is coming.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I don't know when it is, right. But the next bad thing is coming.
Yeah. This is why I know I need some medicine. Every time my phone buzzes,
you and I got to have meds. Yep.
I'm nervous to read the message because that's what I'm waiting for.
Right.
Yeah, you are just wired differently. You're
every
wired
time
differently.
My phone buzzes, I go, well, what nightmare is this now?
Because, you know, Cakes, both you and Cakes are wired differently. You go to a mall and you're thinking, well, somebody might be shooting us up.
Always.
I go to the mall and I go, ooh, they've got Cold Stone Creamery.
It's a slight tangent. It's not the mall. It's anywhere. Right. Any public place. It could be a school, mall. Well, I don't go to church, so I strike that. Casino. Any public
I worry
place,
in church.
Grocery store, anywhere. It could be anywhere. Yeah. A mass shooting could break out anywhere.
And you also don't like to walk across the street diagonally. You like to absolutely stand the crosswalk.
I use a crosswalk.
Because he's worried he's going to get hit.
There's a reason that the crosswalk is there. You're encouraged to walk in
right.
the crosswalk.
Let's
and
go.
When we played in our turkey bowl, you wore every pad known to man.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Jeff real quick. Then I see my mom has called in, so I probably worried my mom. All right. Jeff, quickly, what's up, buddy?
Well, you know, I'm a longtime listener. I go back to when JP read his LSAT scores
right.
on the air, which
that was the
I
bar exam.
Some of the
yes,
bar exam. Yeah,
right.
That was the best radio I think I've ever heard. Actually,
thanks.
We peaked.
I just want to let you know. You know,
I know.
I was 51, and I lost my job.
Right.
You know,
brutal.
Complete shock. Oh, yeah, the guy fired me over video conference. I mean, you talk about shocking, you know. And, you know, I was like, I'm like a few of you, maybe. I'm sole breadwinner, live a suburban, nice suburban existence.
Right.
So that's, you know.
Why did your boss let you go? What was the reason?
It was after a corporate merger, and they just had to cut costs.
It just happened. Okay. Downsizing.
Yeah,
you didn't do anything wrong. Just happened. Yeah, it sucks, man. Hang in there.
Whatever. You know, I mean, and that, well. As I say now, I'm working for a competitor of the company that fired me. So I'm in the middle of my an hour and a half commute now. But you know, kind of run on hatred against the old company.
So what is your perspective on what we were talking about?
It's very true. You know, you're in your 50s and things are fragile. It's a very fragile time because, it's like, you know, you've got older parents, you know, you in a moment's notice, who knows, I may have to fly down to Florida and my mom, you know, may have some medical issues.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know, you don't know what's going to happen from day to day. Kids, you know, like high school kids, okay, it's, you know, it seems okay, but who knows, you know.
Oh, no. The high school kids are crazy. Everybody's crazy. Trust me.
Yeah.
So stress everywhere.
I feel like for the next, you know, 10 years, it's like walking on eggshells, you know?
Yep.
And fronts, you know.
All right.
I think once you get to 60, you know, but it's great. It's definitely a lot of 50-year-old men do need therapy, I think for that reason.
Yeah, I think it's probably good for everybody.
Do you take meds, daily meds?
No, I don't, but certain people say I should.
Yeah.
I mean, or, you know.
Yeah. I got to run because my mom's on the other line. Thank you, though.
I've stayed away from them for forever, obviously, but I think it might be time.
I walk on the eggshells always with you.
Although you do self-medicate to get yourself to sleep.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do that.
Yes.
Well, is melatonin self-medicating?
Well, no, like NyQuil. NyQuil. He said last night he took NyQuil.
What's funny about Jason because I'm sick. Jason yesterday said, my body, I just couldn't stay up to watch the second half of the
Packers
divisional round game between the
Packers and Seahawks.
And he says my body couldn't stay up. He took melatonin and NyQuil.
All right, well, hold on a second. Are you not telling the whole story? It's just like you not to tell the whole story.
He's
going
to tell the
whole story. You have a head cold, too?
I was sick.
Yeah.
All right. My body felt sick. I felt like I needed to go to sleep. I just wanted to go to sleep a little quicker, so that's why I took the melatonin, and it also helped clear my head.
Just a little cherry on top.
The NyQuil helped clear my head a little bit.
Yeah.
I was all stuffed up. I don't take NyQuil every night. I take melatonin every night, but that's different than taking NyQuil.
I didn't say you take it every night. You're claiming I didn't tell the whole story.
It wasn't. You didn't tell the whole story.
I didn't say you take NyQuil every night. You said your body was shutting down and you couldn't stay up.
Right.
But then you took two things to help you fall asleep.
Well, I just told you why. What part of that are you not getting?
All right,
when you're not feeling good, when your head's all stuffed
you take
up,
medicine.
You got a stuffy nose, you got a cough and a sore throat, you take a little medicine.
Well, don't take Sudafed before bed because I did that, and apparently that keeps you up. Oh. That's like an upper. It was stupid. All right, let's go to my mom. I guess I've upset her. Mom, good morning.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Yes. I'm sad.
Why?
To hear how depressed you are.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I mean, I
what
know
do you mean you didn't
would.
Know it. I talked to you a couple times in the last couple weeks about stuff bugging me.
Well, I know. I know, honey.
Yeah.
But I think when you answer the question, why am I here?
Oh, I know. You're going to go ahead.
Okay. I know. You don't want a sermon from me, okay?
But not every day. I don't want a sermon every day. That's all. But go ahead.
I don't think you've answered the question why you're here.
Ooh, that's
everybody
a tough
has
question.
To answer that.
I don't know the answer to that, Mom.
He's here because you and your husband had a child and he was born. That's why he's here.
No,
but I get what you're saying. What about your perspective on things as somebody who has experienced life ups and downs over the decades?
Yes.
Did you find one particular decade to be the happiest? Did you find one particular decade of your life to be the most miserable under this misery index? It's saying that right around this age is maybe the most stressful and miserable for people, but they're happier in their 20s and happier in their 70s.
I really couldn't say. I guess I would say that dating years for me as a person were painful years. I that was really hard because, you know, I think that's a hard time.
You hadn't found your soulmate.
Yeah, Adam could relate to that. Very hard for him. What about like your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, all them? They all kind of the same for you, Mom, in terms of stress?
I've had stresses in my life, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I really...
Everyone does.
But I have this overall purpose. I think we all want to be loved, and we all want to be communicating with someone.
Yeah.
And when we feel that we're understood...
But I'm not worried about that. I know I'm loved. I'm not worried about that.
He had a wonderful party the other
night. Yeah, I know I'm straight there. I'm good. I'm lucky with that.
Yes, and then we also want to love someone else.
Yeah, that's right. I love lots of people. That's fine.
But
that's good.
I think ultimately you have to look to why we're here. And I don't think it's by accident you're here. Right. I think that once we're here, God has a purpose for us.
Right. Well, I will say this. I do think she hits on something. Hold on, Mom. I do think she hits on something. I think that people that do find solace in religion are happier.
Oh, okay.
No question about it. They feel there's a larger purpose in life or whatever, and it's beyond them, and they can't control everything.
I can't get into that.
But I think there's no question about it. I think you could look up studies prove it.
No, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah.
But I also think about that and what God's plan. All right, God's plan was my mom to get cancer when she was 63.
Yeah, and like babies to die and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So I can't get into that. I don't get into God's plan. Sorry, Mrs. B, I just can't do it.
I think God plans for us to live in the spirit now and in the hereafter. I think
so. Her answer would be God's plan is larger than this life, and you just can't see
beyond
it
the grave.
But no one knows if that's
no idea what it could be like.
That's just a belief,
right?
It's a grasper.
Yeah,
in my opinion, it's a full-on grasper.
Right.
People around the world.
Well, I don't care if it's offensive. That's what I believe.
Okay.
Right. Mrs. Bickle, we got to run.
Or don't believe.
We have breaking Capitals news. That have been told.
I hope
that,
it's good.
The Cakes is wearing the Capitals hoodie and a Capitals hat.
Hold on. Is it good, positive news or negative?
I don't know.
Oh, well, my opinion, probably negative. That'd be what I would guess.
I hope not.
All right, Mom, love you. I got to run.
Well, you need to look for your purpose.
Yeah, one day I'll find it. One day. All right,
I think it's in his wallet. There's a lot in that wallet. Maybe it's stuck in his wallet.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mrs. Bickle.
Thanks,
great to
Mom.
See you on Saturday night.
Yep.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
So the whole family out.
So are we doing the breaking news bit with Pedro?
I believe so.
Is it that big?
It's time for breaking Washington Capitals news here on The Fan.
Well, the Washington Capitals have announced a 5-year, $46 million contract extension with center Nicholas Backstrom. Backstrom, of course, without agent, negotiating on his own behalf with the Capitals. And they have come to an agreement on a 5-year, $46 million contract. We'll have reaction throughout the day right here on your station for Capitals Hockey, Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington as well. You want to check us out on TV. We just got the breaking news on the Capitals front from Pete Medhurst. Powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. And that was that Nicholas Backstrom just signed a 5-year, $46 million contract to stay with the Washington Capitals without an agent.
That's a bargain.
Nice. No agent.
Beautiful.
Save bargain. 3 or 4% or whatever they pay.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, good.
Of course, we open up the show talking about the national championship. Joe Burrow finishes his magical season, throwing for 463 yards, 5 touchdowns, and LSU's 42-25 win over Clemson. And joining us right now to talk further about that is Bobby Carpenter, covers college football for ESPN. Of course, former Buckeye and played in the NFL for many years. What's up, Bobby?
How are we doing, gentlemen?
What time did you get to bed last night?
Oh, goodness. I was like at about the 3.5-minute mark when LSU pretty much had it wrapped up. I began to proceed with the bedtime routine, start brushing the teeth, keeping one eye on. But at that point, to me, the game had been decided. And once I've invested 4 hours into a football game, unless we're in bonus time, it's about time to start decompressing at that point.
Yeah, that was a long one. What what were you seeing defensively from LSU that kind of gave Trevor Lawrence and the offense some trouble after they took that 17-7 lead? What adjustments do you think they made?
I think what they started to do, they started tightening up their coverage a little bit. They were able to get some pressure on him as well. Like,
right.
One of the things with Trevor Lawrence, you're going to sit back there in the pocket, he's going to beat you up. And Ohio State did a good job a couple weeks before that of pressuring their receivers, getting up in press coverage, challenging them at the point of attack. And if you look at LSU, they had two really good corners in Fulton and Stingley. And so those guys started challenging Higgins and Ross a little bit more, tightening down some of those throwing windows, and then trying to force ETN to not be able to run, obviously, in the middle of the field. They've been working the sides. They started gashing a little, so they tightened that up, and I think that that's what made the difference.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. I mean, the throws that Trevor had to make were a lot tighter than the ones Burrow had to make.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a function of, you look at Clemson, like, they were a really good team, and it's a lot of it's due to Trevor Lawrence and the offense. Their creativity was fantastic. Brent Venables is a fantastic defensive coordinator as well. Like, they're one of the best coach teams you're going to find in college football. But I felt like if you looked at it, talent across the board, I mean, LSU, I thought, had superior talent to Clemson. The only reason Clemson was able to stay in the game, I thought, was because of a fantastic game plan. And once LSU was able to figure out a little bit of what Clemson was doing, like on both sides of the ball, then you saw the talent begin to take over, and it was just too much. Dabo Sweeney, they didn't have anything else in their bag of tricks to pull out. They tried to put on Trevor Lawrence. He did as much as he could for as long as he could, but it just seemed like he was pretty much overmatched by the time he got middle of the third, end of the third quarter.
Talking to Bobby Carpenter, mm-hmm. covers college football for ESPN. We were talking about this during one of the breaks. Can you think of another player who has risen from kind of obscurity, maybe fourth-round draft pick projection, to being the number one pick in the draft, like Joe Burrow has done in 1 year?
Yeah, a lot of times when that happens, there's concerns about the guy, like as far as his ability to play and why didn't he play sooner? Where did he come from? Right. Is this a cataclysmic leap or did he just have one good year? And so, unfortunately, I've known Joe since he was in junior high school. My brother played for his dad at Ohio University. I've got a chance to watch him grow and develop here at Ohio State. When he was getting recruited, there weren't a lot of people that were all over him. Like, there was a lot of, mid-tier Power 5 schools that really didn't even, want to take a chance on him because he was a skinny kid. He didn't have the strongest arm in the world. But he's come in, he's developed his body, he's worked. And, he gets beat out by Dwayne Haskins, who's there with you now in Washington. And people kept saying, it's not a close competition. I'm watching that in the spring at Ohio State. I'm like, listen, Dwayne may be more talented, but I think Joe might almost be better right now. And to his credit, he never stopped working. He developed himself physically. And I haven't seen a guy in college that's as good mentally as he is. His ability to get all the way across the field with his reads, go from 1 to 5, and do it all under pressure when he was under siege a ton last night, took some big shots, but always keeps his eyes down the field and throws the ball with tremendous accuracy. Like, he doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but it's strong enough, and he's so accurate with the football, throws with great timing and anticipation. And when you look at a lot of the great quarterbacks at the next level, it's not always the guys with the strongest arm. It's the ones that are able to read the defenses and get the ball out in a timely manner.
Right.
And I was most impressed with the deep balls to Chase. I mean, those were dimes. They were perfectly placed.
Yeah, LSU's always had great receivers. It's just a matter of could they find a guy to get him the football. And Joe Burrow, like, you're watching him play in the Superdome, and they, Joe Brady, their passing game coordinator, comes in from the Saints. They're running the same stuff that they run with Drew Brees. And he's executing it just as well at the collegiate level as Drew Brees was doing in the NFL. And so you see that natural transition. Like, these aren't dump-offs that he's throwing and guys are taking at 50 yards. Like, he is throwing balls on the money 30 yards down the field under pressure.
So going forward, Burrow's going to be the number one pick. He's going to be playing in his home state, Cincinnati. Not sure if he was a Bengals fan or a Browns fan. You would know that. But so he's going to be playing in his home state, and then he's not going to be with Brady, and, he's going to have NFL receivers like Tyler Boyd and guys like that. But, I'm not saying that it was the system that elevated his plays because he's clearly a really good player, but how much going forward, what are you projecting for Burrow at the NFL level? Do you think he's a can't-miss?
I don't know about the term can't miss. People are throwing out now, like, is he can't miss like Andrew Luck?
Right.
I mean, so much of it is situation.
Right.
And especially for a quarterback, they've got some weapons in Cincinnati, and you guys have a rookie quarterback there in Washington, Dwayne Haskins. You can't protect the guy. It doesn't matter how good they are. And so you're going to struggle a little bit. And that's where Cincinnati was not good this year. They had a lot of injuries up front to their offensive line. Now, they did invest in guys. And when you get your first-round draft pick hurt and lost for a season, that's going to affect you. Or if you don't have a good left tackle, like in Washington, that's going to affect you. So you have to be able to protect the guy. And to me, that's even more important than receivers. Quarterbacks can elevate their receiver play, but it's really, really hard to elevate a good off a bad offensive line because you just don't have the time to be able to get through your progressions and be able to find the open guys. They may be there, but I don't care how good you are. You basically just have to guess because if you don't have 2.5 to 3 seconds, you're going to really, really struggle.
Yeah. We may never see a team like this. I mean, I'm not going to say never. All right. I can't say that, but. I mean, you got to talk about a team that beat Clemson handily in the national championship. All right, beat Oklahoma. Now Oklahoma's defense is not that good, but you score almost 70 against them. Right? They beat Florida. They beat Auburn. They beat Alabama. They beat A&M. They beat Georgia. And Burrow put up 60 touchdowns. We may never see a passing offense with and a team as good as this particular LSU team ever again. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's tough. You don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. Like in society, we have such a recency bias now where whatever's happened recent is obviously the most best because it just has to be because we're living in it, right? Like we live in the greatest time in the history of the world. But there is a lot of truth to what you're saying. And the way that he's done it, the teams that they beat, the march that they went on, beating Bama in Bama, like those things are really, really difficult to do. They went through probably the toughest schedule in all of college football when you look at from opening up with Texas to ultimately finishing with Clemson. And so they did it all in a very impressive fashion.
Right.
Defensively, they weren't as good as they've probably historically been, but they made up for it on the offensive side of the football with just great efficiency and unbelievably gaudy passing numbers.
Yeah.
So you seem to be following the Redskins' plight here a little bit with Haskins at quarterback, and there's a lot of people here in D.C. who say with the number two pick, Chase Young or bust. Is he a can't-miss, in your opinion, have to take him, or should they consider trading down, getting more talent, that sort of thing?
Well, I think the Redskins roster isn't that far away. You can shore up the offensive line. You help the defense a little bit. And they've got some pretty good weapons. You've got some good young receivers there, and you've hit on some guys lower in the draft, which has helped a lot. To me, when I saw Chase Young walk on the campus at Ohio State, I was never a believer in some of the five-star guys that people project immediately to the first round of the NFL. I watched this guy walk on. I'm like, is this a grad transfer? Like, no, it's Chase Young. Like, he's 17?
Uh-huh.
Like, you kidding me? Like, I mean, I played against Julius Peppers. I don't want to quite put him in, like, that category because he's a Hall of Famer. That's rarefied air. But, like, physically, the skills that he has, the tools, and, like, the ability all combined together, oh, man, it is all there, and it's all there in spades. And on top of it, like he could have probably come to Ohio State. He could have went to any college and kind of, you know, just glided through and probably still been a first-round pick. But he's a great kid. He's a really tough guy, works really hard, and that's why he ultimately probably became the most dominant player in college football this year. So if I'm sitting there and I have that pick, and especially now you have a defensive coach, you can see what happens. If you look out at San Francisco, they have the blueprint. If you have a great defensive line, you are really tough to beat.
Yeah.
These teams cannot run the football on you. They have limited time to throw. And I would take Chase Young. I think defensive line are tough to miss on in general. And I think he's the best overall football player in the draft.
Bobby, I want to get your take on where sort of Trevor Lawrence goes from here. Kind of struggled last night, but has been so good his first couple years. You know, prior to this year, everybody thought you were tanking for Tua. And then he got hurt and, you know, maybe didn't quite have as dominant a year. I mean, the numbers are still pretty good. He may go now slip to 5, mostly because of injury. I just want to get your take on both those guys. What happens with Trevor and his development next year? Expected to still hold on and be that number one overall guy? And then what do you project with Tua? Let's just assume he's okay and he comes back from this injury okay. How does his game translate?
Oh, I think Tua will be – I think he can be a good pro. Now, he does have the injury issues. Like, it's just not this.
Yeah.
You know, he's had 2 ankle surgeries. Like, there's a number of things. And so that's why I was glad he came out just for him personally, thinking if you stay in another year, you get one more injury, then people aren't going to try to rationalize still taking you in the first round. You're probably sliding to a mid-round pick at that point. Like, if he comes back healthy and he can move and he stays healthy, yeah, I think he can be a really good NFL quarterback. You know, he has all the tools that he needs. Not the tallest guy in the world, but I think we've proven that that has changed a little bit here with the way that the NFL game is now played and how it's a little more similar to college. When you look at Trevor Lawrence, like, watching last night, that didn't do really anything for me to think that he still won't be the number one overall pick. Like, he's a much better athlete than people give him credit for. And you saw in the last two games, run the football extremely well. You know, when you're getting beat around, when you're in a chase game where you get down and you're having to push the football down the field, you know, you're going to make some mistakes. You're maybe not going to be as accurate. But let's be honest, gentlemen, that's the first game the guy's lost in 2 years as a starter. Like, he came in week five last season and has just rolled since that point on. And so I don't know how you can look and say, he struggled in one game. We're going to maybe dock him or knock him down. Like, he's tall. He's athletic. He's got a cannon arm. From all accounts, he seems to be a great guy. He's highly accurate. Like, yeah, he checks every box. Yeah. And so there would have to be a major regression from him next year for me to knock him down and say, this isn't the guy you want to lead your team.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he's going to be the first round or number one overall pick next year. This was kind of, I said this earlier, this is kind of a legacy game, not just for Lawrence, but for Dabo. You know, if Lawrence wins this game, you can argue he's the most accomplished, or he would have been the most accomplished quarterback in college football history. Now, that all changes because he lost. But next year, you know, in his true junior year, he got another chance to go back. And then Dabo, if he wins that last night, that's 3 out of 4. Well on his way to trying to catch Nick Saban. So there was a lot on the line for a lot of different people in that game last night, and especially at Coach O, too.
Absolutely. When you look at it, I mean, this is LSU and Coach O. This was their one shot. You know, you've got Joe Burrow, the fifth-year senior. The Disney movie script is being written for him to kind of wrap all that up. Can they get it done and kind of solidify their year? Because if you lose that game, I mean, everything just kind of gets pushed aside, and it becomes a footnote, I think, in history. And for Clemson, like you said, it's 3 of 4. It's a guy winning back-to-back national championships as a quarterback, as a true sophomore. Dabo Swinney, the job that he's done, you know, playing in 4 straight, and then he would have won 3 out of 4. I mean, there's unbelievable storylines on both sides. To me, it doesn't really knock Dabo Swinney and Clemson. I look at the team they have coming back. Yeah. They're going to be in contention again. You know, their conference isn't the strongest thing in the world, and so that obviously helps them a little bit in the regular season. But when they get to the tournament and they're playing in the playoffs, like, they've shown that they can play and hang and beat anybody in college football. So they'll be back next year. If they win 3 out of 5, like, hey,
yep,
I'm not going to knock that. That's still a dynasty. The question then for LSU is, like, what do they do now in the post-Joe Burrow era? Like we talked about, is Joe Burrow more of a product of scheme? Well, sometimes you can ask the question, is the scheme as much a product of the quarterback? And can you find a guy to replicate those results moving forward? Because that sometimes is even a lot more difficult.
Bobby, great stuff.
Bobby, real quick, the one thing that really stuck out to me for watching this game last night was just how many NFL players there were on that field. How many first and second round picks were on that field? And there had to have been 15 to 20 of them.
Oh, there were elite players all over the place. I mean, there were 3 teams who were really, really good in college football, elite this year. And, you know, Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU. And if you look at those 3 rosters, I mean, there's probably, like you said, on each team, when you look at, like, top to bottom, senior to freshman, each team might have 10 first-round picks. And, like, right. I don't think that's an exaggeration to say some of those guys aren't even really playing that much right now, and you won't find out about them until next year or the year after.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bobby, appreciate the time, man. Have a good week, okay?
Thank you. Good stuff. Thank you, buddy.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yep.
Really good stuff.
Bobby Carpenter.
He was the 18th pick of his draft when he came out.
I remember him vividly when he played in college.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that guy would know Ohio State in particular as well as anybody.
Yeah, he does.
I would think. Does he call games for Ohio State? What does he do?
ESPN college analyst.
He does ESPN stuff.
He also you see him on Greenberg show a lot.
She has a radio show too.
Right, yeah.
Unique kind of nugget about him. His dad played for Bill Parcells, and then he played for Bill Parcells.
Mm.
Genetics, man.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, that's why Burrow's so good. Burrow's dad and his brothers, his mom. Where did he say his mom played? Did she play like at Mississippi or something?
Not sure.
She played hoops, scored 82 games, 82 points in one game.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, genetics, of course. It's only a matter of time before he broke out.
We were just talking about, we just saw a clip of Tiger Woods' kid. Looks like he's got the perfect golf
swing.
Oh, yeah,
his golf swing looks silly.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that? He shot 41 in his little nine-hole tournament.
Yep. You know he's going to be good.
That's what I was shooting, like, JV golf with DeMatha. Kids like, how old is
he? Oh, he's got against genetics. It's a bloodline.
His kids are named Charlie and Sam, right?
Yeah.
Which one's which?
I think Charlie's the one
Sam's the girl.
Charlie's
Sam's
the
girl?
Been striping it.
Yeah. So Charlie's the boy. Okay.
Yeah.
aren't there some girls named Charlie or no? Am I crazy?
Yeah.
Why do you name his kids two names like
unisex
that?
Unisex names?
Because he's weird. He's a weirdo.
But, I mean,
he's
I think Charlie.
Charlie generally is a guy,
a
but I
name.
Feel like I know girls, especially when you name your daughter Sam. I guess Samantha.
I guess it would be Charlotte.
Yeah, my cousin's kid is Charlotte, and we call her Charlie.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. Do whatever you got to do. But all right, so Charlie's the boy. How old is Charlie? Is he like 9?
10.
He's 10?
Yeah. I think I heard he was 10.
His swing did look sweet, didn't it?
Of course it did.
Jesus.
Can you have a better instructor than Tiger Woods?
Right. How much of that do you think is genetics? Because Elon screwed up the genetics. It's kind of like Juanita screwed up Jordan's genes.
I think golf is a
little worse. That's why those kids weren't any good. I think they were mediocre.
I think golf is practice. I mean, I think there's some genetics to it.
Yeah.
With the hand-eye coordination, I'm sure he has a little bit of an advantage, but you got to work on your golf swing.
Right, right. He's got a better chance.
All right, so Trevor Sikkema, who's going to join us earlier in the show, we've rescheduled for 9:20. He's an NFL draft analyst, so we can get his take on Chase Young, what the Redskins might do. That's coming up at 9:20 here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Cakes, did you get to watch any of The Bachelor?
I did, yes.
Because during the break.
Not all of it, but parts.
Valdez brought up something that I was aware of. I saw it on social media yesterday. Yeah. There was a champagne shot
Yes, there was.
Where the girl pops the bottle of champagne and it sprays like all over her face.
Yes, correct.
And Valdez, you would think, is more jaded than just about anybody in this room in terms of having passwords and specific websites.
Yeah.
What did you say that it was?
I said it was very titillating, and if push came to shove, I could see myself using that as material.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, it definitely had some connotations attached to it, but
definite connotations.
I don't see where it could be any sort of like a resource, if you will. Like
if you put that GIF on a loop,
yeah.
You gave me 5 minutes alone.
Yeah. You might be able to produce something.
Isn't that what Drab did to Wrecking Ball, the Wrecking Ball video?
He did like him some Miley Cyrus on the Wrecking Ball. That's correct. Hmm. Yeah. So that's some good recall there.
I got the job
there.
Done.
I just couldn't believe the big deal that she's making about that other chick stealing her champagne. I mean, it's just, you know, that show is stupid.
Did you watch the
National
Championship, by the way?
Yeah, I was double screening it. Bachelor was on the big screen.
I would imagine.
Let's be honest. I mean, you got to have priorities
in
life.
Glad you're that interested.
But yeah, it's just that show is stupid. I understand, but I can't turn away from. I just can't turn away from it at this point.
Well, I don't. Okay,
but
I'm watching the champagne bit where it sprays all over her face after she's drinking it. I don't even understand how that happens. How did it like? She's drinking, and then it kind of like backwashes her face. Like.
I think the bottle had been rolling around for a while, and I guess she wasn't just prepared for it to be as fizzy as it was.
It's a delay.
Okay, but why was there a delayed fizz?
I don't know. Not sure.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
Don't know, but I did see that all over social media, and I haven't watched The Bachelor in years.
Yeah.
She definitely spit it all out.
Yes, she did.
I feel like I did watch one season where I guess it was maybe The Bachelorette, where it was the African-American woman.
Yeah.
I saw that. But all I see is stories about Hannah and Peter. Like, why?
Hannah came back. He was thinking of letting her come back to the house.
Explain who's who. Was Hannah The Bachelorette?
Hannah was... Hold on. I'm trying to figure. Yes. She was The Bachelorette, and she rejected Peter at the end. Or he was like one of the last three or four.
He was the third out.
Last year.
But he's the guy who knocked it out in the windmill.
So yeah, he's windmill guy.
He crushed windmill sex with her.
Yes, and correct.
And The Bachelor makes sure you know that.
But they want to tell you this year on The Bachelor.
Then she picked somebody else and she already broke up with him.
Right, of course. Because they all break up.
Now she's on The Bachelor.
She came back as a ratings stunt, ratings boost.
So she's not part of the regular cast. It was just a one-off.
Correct.
Gotcha.
For one or two episodes.
I started watching The Outsider yesterday. The Outsiders, a new miniseries on HBO. I think it's 8 or 10 episodes.
With Bateman?
Jason Bateman and Ben Mendelsohn. You know Ben Mendelsohn. You recognize him.
I definitely recognize the name.
Now, this is based on a novel by Stephen King. So people who read the novel already know what happened.
Right.
I didn't read the novel.
Who reads novels in 2019, 2020?
But it's essentially about a brutal murder of a boy in Georgia.
Right.
And this one guy who's a teacher at the school, who's played by Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
He's the number one suspect.
Ooh. Sounds intriguing.
Oh, that's right. I've seen I think I brought this up like 2 months ago. I just didn't know that it came.
First two episodes.
Definitely sliced to watch it
today. First two episodes started on Sunday.
That actually looks like an EB show. It reminded me of Gone Girl.
It's kind of a true. It's kind of a little bit of a True Detective vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also maybe a paranormal aspect to it down the road.
Well, Stephen King writing it makes sense if that's the case.
Yeah, right, but I don't know that for a fact.
But in the trailer, they kind of show it.
Yes.
They show like the detective saying, "How could he be at two places at once?"
You're more sized
for normal. Yeah. Paranormal.
I know it's sized for paranormal.
But the very first episode is gripping. Because you see what happens to the boy, and you see what... See, I don't want to get
as gripping as that GIF was for Valdez from The Bachelor.
Here's the only problem that I have.
I think there's some gripping.
You'll watch it today, but it doesn't matter. Jason Bateman's one of my favorite actors.
Maybe
I really
not
like
today.
Him.
He's very good.
He's very good.
Even though he's always the same character, he's very good at it.
He's really good.
So he's identical to his Ozark character?
But here's the problem.
He's the same in every movie.
He's good at
He's not in it that much.
Oh, he's not. He's not heavily featured.
But just watch it and tell me.
He's the main suspect, though.
He is the main suspect.
I think he's arrested for murder.
He's arrested for murder.
Yes. Here's what I know about getting away with murder.
Too. Just watch it.
Just from watching I've been sucked into the wormhole with my daughter watching 20-plus-year-old forensic files on Netflix.
Right. It's the best.
You can't get away with murder. You just can't. because you're always
not anymore.
You're always going to leave some sort of DNA or forensic evidence on the scene.
Yeah, but you're
no
also,
matter how much prepping you do, you're leaving something there.
But this is the bias of you watching a show which is about the people that are caught.
I understand.
You know what I mean? You're not watching the show about the murders that are unsolved.
I know there are unsolved murders, but for the most part,
it's hard to get away with it. Yes,
it's very difficult because people are stupid. People. They keep the shoes that the blood spatters on, or they hide their evidence in like a compartment in their pickup truck, thinking the cops aren't going to find it.
But you're watching the show of the donks. It's like I have this.
It's a lot of donks.
I have this argument with my mom. So my mom's in line for a transplant,
right?
And she says, "Well, at dialysis, I see all these people who've already had a transplant and they're doing dialysis again." And I told her, "Well, of course, because the people that had successful transplants, which statistically is 90%, they're not going back to dialysis
right.
to say, hey, how you doing?
Right.
That's not what they're doing. They're living their life.
Yeah, they want to be as far away as possible.
Keks's point is it's much more difficult in 2020 to get away with it.
Most of the unsolved murders are random, like drug-related or things like that. It's not,
and they're probably from 50 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the unsolved murders that happen today... They're not like the wife that dies or anything like that. I mean, that's always, they catch those guys in 2 seconds.
And a common thread that always runs through it is that a spouse murders the other spouse thinking that they're going to collect on the life insurance. You're always going to be the prime suspect. These people are just idiots. Yeah. All idiots.
I think you'd be surprised at the number of what percentage of murders are unsolved.
I probably would be surprised by it.
But I think those they're all like stranger related.
I don't know. I'm just saying this. I think it's a higher percentage than
Spoiler alert, the Irishman got away with it in the end.
He did get away with it, yes.
But you also have to remember not every police force has the resources to investigate every single murder. I mean,
right.
It would take
of course
thousands of cops and detectives.
I don't know. Papa Roach did a whole song getting away with murder.
They certainly did. They're still cranking out cellies. Good for them.
But The Outsider, I think you would like.
You started my EP. We didn't even get to do it yet, though. What time's our guest coming on?
9:20.
You can do it at 9.
9:20?
Yeah, do it at 9 o'clock.
Well, that's next.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, Jason Bateman looks rough in this picture from The Outsider.
Well, he's up on a murder charge.
Hey,
you'd look rough, too.
Will you watch the first two episodes today?
I don't know if I'm going to have time because I'm in big time daddy mode today.
All right.
Wife's busy, but I will try and sneak it in. You know what?
You know what? I might watch it because I'm in big time chill mode today. I don't have a lot of daddy stuff to do. I don't have a toddler running
around.
Pretty
much your daddy stuff. Your daddy stuff's behind you.
Yeah,
your daughter's a senior.
I mean, my youngest is 15 years old.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about it. You do have another one.
I do have another kid. Yes.
He's a freshman.
Sophomore. Remember, that was the accident.
Right.
It's a surprise. You don't want to label it as an accident.
Yeah,
a surprise.
Yeah.
A happy surprise.
Yeah, great surprise.
No more surprises, though.
That's right.
I still remember Cakes's at the time. You're talking about the way that your protection method.
I don't remember what it was. I can't remember.
But this way, it didn't work.
Right. Yeah,
but it was a blessing.
It was faulty. Yeah. Of course it was faulty.
It was haphazard.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back with the entertainment page next here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.